I want to share a message with you today that I believe is of great importance in light of the society of which we're living in, where there is so much division, where there is so much strife. I want to talk to you specifically this morning about when is a child a child, because that debate is still raging today. Roe versus Wade was a landmark decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, in which the court ruled that the Constitution of the United States conferred the right to have an abortion. The decision at that time struck down many federal and state abortion laws and fueled an ongoing debate in these United States, and the debate began. It was centered in man's logic concerns whether or to what extent abortion should be legal, who should decide the legality of abortion, and what the role of moral and religious views in the political sphere should be. The case was brought by Norma McCorvey, known by the pseudonym Jane Roe. What you may not know is that Norma became pregnant in 1969 with her third child, a child that she did not want to have. And so she decided that she wanted an abortion. But she lived in Texas, where abortion was illegal except when necessary to save a mother's life. Norma's attorneys, Sarah Weddington and Linda Coffey, filed a lawsuit on her behalf in the U.S. federal court against her local district attorney, Henry Wade, alleging that Texas abortion laws were unconstitutional. And a special three-judge court of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas heard the case and ruled in her favor. And as we all know, that went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court on January 22nd, 1973 issued a 7-2 decision holding that the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution provides a fundamental right to privacy which protects a woman's right to an abortion. The court also held that the right to abortion is not absolute and it must be balanced against the government's interest in protecting women's health and prenatal life. And the court at that time resolved these competing interests by announcing a pregnancy trimester timetable to govern all abortion regulations in the United States. The court also classified the right to abortion as fundamental, which required courts to evaluate and challenge abortion laws under the strict scrutiny standard. And the strict scrutiny standard is the most stringent level of judicial review in these United States. And we all know the Supreme Court's decision in Roe was among the most controversial in United States history. And the result was anti-abortion politicians and activists sought for decades to restrict abortion or overrule this most ungodly of decisions. Despite criticism of the decision, the Supreme Court reaffirmed Roe's central holding in its 1992 decision, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, and Casey overruled Roe's trimester framework and abandoned Roe's strict scrutiny standard in favor of an undue burden test. The fight for Christian values and God's gift of life continued. And thankfully, on June 24, 2022, the Supreme Court overruled Roe in Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health Organization on the grounds that the substantive right to abortion was not deeply rooted in this nation's history or tradition, nor was it considered a right when the Due Process Clause was ratified in 1868, and furthermore, it was unknown in U.S. law until Roe. After 49 years and the murder of more than 53 million children, The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 to uphold Mississippi's gestational act and 5-4 to overrule Roe and Casey. Supreme Court Justice Alito confirmed in the court's opinion that Roe was egregiously wrong from the start and its reasoning exceptionally weak. He also stated that Roe has inflamed debate and deepened division, and that overruling it would return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. The majority opinion relied on a constitutional historical view of abortion rights, stating, "The Constitution of the United States makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision." The reasoning was that abortion could be constitutionally protected. In truth, until the latter part of the 20th century, such a right was entirely unknown in American law. Furthermore, when the 14th Amendment was adopted, 3/4 of the United States made abortion a crime at all stages of pregnancy. And yet, the question remains, and the debate still goes on, when is a child a child? Because those who are for abortion either ignore or outright reject God's word, because the United States in 1973 chose to reject the truth of God's word, perhaps everyone has missed the point altogether. In June 1969, 21-year-old Norma McCorvey discovered she was pregnant with her third child, a child she didn't want. Now, ordinarily, lawyers are not allowed to directly solicit clients without any prior relationship. But Norma's situation qualified for an exception in the no solicitation rules, which allows lawyers to solicit clients for public interest cases. According to a sworn statement in 2003, Norma asked if she had what was needed to become the central figure in Weddington's and Coffey's lawsuit. And she recounted being told, "Yes, you're white, you're young, you're pregnant, and you want an abortion." Both Norma's whiteness and her lower social class were critical factors in the attorney's choice to choose her as their plaintiff. Norma recounted that the lawyers asked her if she thought abortion should be legal. She said, "I don't know." Weddington told her, "It's just a piece of tissue. You've only missed your time." This convinced Norma that it should be legal. And so she agreed to let them represent her, under the impression that she would eventually be able to get an abortion. Norma figured, "Well, if I can get an abortion, I'm going to go ahead and smoke illegal drugs and drink alcohol so I don't have to think about this pregnancy." But she gave birth to a daughter at Dallas Osteopathic Hospital on June 2, 1970. The baby, Shelley Lynn Thornton, was adopted by a couple in Texas. If Sarah Weddington and Linda Coffey weren't living with reprobate minds and depraved in their desire to challenge the legal system to make it legal for the murder of innocent unborn children, perhaps they would have wondered and sought an answer to the question, when is a child a child? The debate has been going on for years. And as stated last week from God's word, "Be not deceived, friend, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." For 49 years, America has been murdering children under the guise of abortion at the altar of Moloch. Moloch was a Canaanite idol that promoted the lifestyle that Norma lived, the lifestyle of promiscuity, a lifestyle of no moral code, a lifestyle of selfishness that required child sacrifice. And God gave Israel some very strict laws and some strict advice concerning this. He told Israel they were not to sacrifice their children as the heathen do. And abortion is nothing more than the murder of innocent children, sacrificing them at the altar of Moloch. When is a child a child? The debate still rages today. And it rages because no man or woman should desire to have the government to tell them what they can do or cannot do with their bodies, and every one of us ought to agree with that. No government should dictate to a man or a woman in these United States what we can or we cannot do with our bodies. But there is someone to whom we are all accountable. There is our Creator, and He is the one who can dictate what we can and what we cannot do with our bodies. And He says so right here in His Word. God is the Creator of life. And therefore, He is the source we should turn to end the debate and answer the question, when is a child a child? And so I'd like you to look into God's Word this morning, be finding the book of Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament, right after the book of Isaiah. And turn to chapter 1 and find verse 4. And when you're there, please rise as we honor our King and Lord with the reading of His Word here this morning. And if you're there, say amen. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Father God, as we speak about this most delicate and controversial of topics this morning, Lord, let us stand solely and firmly upon the Word of God. Let us stand up for our Christian values. Let us speak the truth. And Lord, may Your truth go out to all hearts, to all the people of this land. May we understand and realize that this lawsuit came simply because of a depraved mind and hearts that desire to make it legal for an ungodly, immoral, promiscuous lifestyle. Father, guide us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. When is a child a child? Well, rather than looking to men, women, or government for the answer, we should be looking to our Creator for His answer. When is a child a child? At the moment of conception, and friend, there can be no debate on it. Now, I cannot emphasize this enough. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And if you are not prepared to go along with that, you need to understand that you are guilty of mocking God. You need to understand that you are placing yourself and your opinion above the Lord God, your Creator. You need to understand that you are acting like you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's clearly evident that none of us are. You realize, friend, we couldn't take another breath. We couldn't take another step. We couldn't grow another inch without our Creator's help, His mercy, and His grace. You and I are nothing more than creature that has been created by our Creator. That's all any of us are. And so I ask you the question, what right does the creature have to in dictating to their Creator? God is the potter and we are the clay. And God gave human government. You can read all about that in Genesis 9. But God gave human government that man might rule under the word of God and not make it up as we try to do in our world today as we go along. This is the word of God. And God's word is absolute truth. And there's no debate on that. You know, we hear a lot today, don't we, in this world about truth. You got your version of truth. I got my version of truth. So-and-so's got their version of truth. The government's trying to tell us what truth is. And you know what? This is truth. There is no other truth. My idea, your ideas, government's ideas, they flawed. But friend, this book is not a flawed book. This word is an absolute truth. And when God speaks, his people better listen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sow, that's what he's going to reap. And if you sow to your flesh or the flesh, you're going to reap corruption, destruction, and every other ungodly thing. And God is going to hold us all accountable for the decisions and the choices that we make in life. Now, how God got his word to Jeremiah really doesn't matter. All that matters is that the Bible says God got his word to Jeremiah. Amen? Now, I'm thankful that Jeremiah's mother didn't question, well, should I have this child? Shouldn't I have this child? She didn't question that at all. I'm thankful that question never entered her mind. And perhaps as she got learned that she was pregnant, perhaps she remembered what King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, had written. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. I wonder what would have happened if Sarah Weddington and Linda Coffey had considered and accepted God's truth. Would they have been so quick to convince Norma McCovey it's just a piece of tissue? Would they have been so quick to try to get the government to approve child murder? It's never been about protecting a woman's life. It's been about a selfish choice brought on by a 21-year-old girl who did not want to have a third child. That's all it's ever been about. A promiscuous lifestyle. Oh, you're pregnant? Well, let's just get rid of it. That's all it's been about. And what they did is lead this nation to mock God and his gift of life. You see, the Bible says when Jeremiah was formed, he was a living soul at the moment of conception. Just as each one of us were when we were in our mother's wombs. And gynecologists who do not want to be the government's tool or Satan's tool will confirm that there is a tremendous development in the fetus from the very beginning. So therefore, couching it in any language that man cares to couch it in to appease those who will not accept God's law over man's law is to be complicit in mocking God. Now we face decisions here in our county, and I'm thankful for all the people who signed the petition that is going to the Russell County Board of Supervisors. We need to be a pro-life county. We need to be a county that stands for life. And to allow abortion clinics in Russell County would be to mock God. To promote the right to abortion is to mock God. To allow abortion up to 15 weeks, as is presently being proposed in Richmond, is to mock God while continuing to promote murder. The murder of those who cannot defend themselves. The murder of an innocent, unborn child. Friend, have you ever stopped to consider the question, why is it that we will condemn someone who murders someone else and hold them responsible for their actions on the one hand, all the while on the other we will turn a blind eye to those who murder innocent children for simply nothing more than a selfish choice? Mark my words, if we have no value for life from its very inception, Do you really believe this nation will value life at any stage? We've seen the signs. We've seen the acts of some who have promoted assisted suicide and other things such as this. And the signs are growing more incessant with each passing day that the present administration in Washington, D.C. does not value God's gift of life at any stage. But the Bible clearly says abortion is murder unless it is done to save a life. And that's how the Word of God looks at it. As citizens of Russell County, citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia, do we want to be a people who refuses to stand up and hold people accountable to the Word of God and fight for the right to life? We need to encourage our county board of supervisors to make Russell County a pro-life county because God's Word states, God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Life begins at conception, and we need to stand up and step up and obey God's word in this church and in this county. I'm telling you, these days in which we're living, how many of you would agree with me? These evil days, amen? There's stuff going on today that none of us ever thought we'd have to deal with, but we're dealing with it because we have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he is alive and well, and all he wants to do is destroy, destroy, destroy. The Bible says Satan was a murderer from the beginning, and that's all he's ever been. And you know what it takes for evil to prosper? For good men and women to do absolutely nothing. And for far too long, the church has been silent. For far too long, we have sat idly by. For far too long, perhaps we've come to church. And we did our duty to God, but we forgot that we're to be devoted to God. Perhaps we came to church, and that was all we did, because then we went home, we had a good meal and a Baptist nap, and the church has been sound asleep. It's time to stand up. It's time to fight for what is right. It is time to put an end to the nonsense that is going on in this nation. Life begins at conception. And we need to be a light. God has called His church to be a light to the world. How many of you would say that this world's getting just a little bit darker every day? We need to be the light. We're still here. I'm sick and tired of being told we're not a Christian nation. Hey, I'm still here, and I'm a Christian. This, as long as I'm in this nation, we're still a Christian nation. What do you say the same thing? Man, we've got to fight for what is right. Now, you may be wondering, why did God say these things to Jeremiah that we read? And I'll tell you why, because God was going to give Jeremiah a message to give to the people of Judah that would be rejected. And that same thing goes on today in our current cancel woke culture. Anyone who stands up for what is right, who opposes the evil they propose, who shares the truth of God's word, is automatically labeled, rejected, canceled. They try to silence what you can say, what you can do. The message of God's truth Jeremiah was to give was going to break his heart. And I want to tell you something. Any preacher of God's truth, heart is broken. Just like Jeremiah's was. Because here's what I can tell you. God is going to do what He says He would do in His Word. Every word, every promise, every warning, every curse that God has ever proposed in His Word, He carries it out. When God says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." It's not a suggestion, friend. It's not a take it or leave it proposition for you. Don't think that you can be a rebel, rebel against God, get away with it. If you sow to your flesh, you are going to reap a harvest of corruption. What do you think America is reaping right now in the world in which we're living? Would you say this nation has become utterly corrupt? We have. And why have we? Because we are sowing to our flesh. Right now, we're guilty of every sin that is listed in the Bible as a nation. And how foolish it is to hear people say, "Oh, God bless America." Friend, God cannot bless America today. We're not even in the pathway of God's blessing. And God's message to His people, the church, and to the people of this world is to repent. And how sad it is that even in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And He's outside the door of His church. That's how utterly corrupt the church has become in this Laodicean age. And how sad it is that there are those who will ordain that which God calls an abomination, and they'll tell you, "It's all right. Be not deceived, God is not mocked." Friend, it is not all right. "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And unless we stand up for life, you see, you know the truth, don't you? Just as I do. We've got God's word on it. And here's a thing that few people think about when we come to church. It's just not a message a preacher's preaching. The word of God goes out and it does not go out void. And when you hear the word of God, whether it be in a Sunday school class, listening to it on the radio, or here in this church, God now holds you accountable for the truth that has been revealed unto you, and He expects you to do something with it, because God says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." He also says His word never goes out void. Now we're all responsible. And the responsibility that we have is to stand up and to fight for life. Do we really want to live in a county, state, or a nation that is controlled by Satan? Listen to me, there are only two kingdoms a man or a woman can serve. And as a man or a woman, you are either serving the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. And you cannot sit on the fence. Presently, with the promotion of the great transition by this administration and the satanic left wing's gender policies, these United States are quickly transitioning into a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah, where every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. We have lost our moral compass as a nation, and we have lost any sense we once had as a nation. My goodness, we don't even have common sense in these United States anymore. Our nation's leaders have given themselves over to a reprobate mind, and they are creating laws and policies that are birthed straight from the pit of hell. But God wanted a man like Jeremiah, a tender-hearted man, to bring God's message. And so He says here, He sanctified Jeremiah. Now, sanctification, that's one of those big churchy words, but let me just condense it down to what it means. It simply means to be set aside for God's use. And every single one of us who are present here today, and every single one of us who will listen to this message online, has the opportunity to make the decision to say, "Yes, I will be set aside for God to use. Yes, I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for the Lord. I want the treasure of heaven above. I will serve the Lord." But you see, therein lies the problem in the hearts of so many. And the problem is that there are way too many people today who do not want to be used. They don't want to be set aside for God's use. So they reject God. And friend, if God is calling you to salvation today, and you choose to not heed that word, you choose to ignore God's call to you today, Do you realize you will be guilty of rejecting God, of mocking God, of mocking the blood of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ shed his blood to save us from our sins. And the only way home to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can be guaranteed there's only one way to heaven, and that is through the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you will not receive his blood today to wash you of your sins and to cleanse you and to make you whole, you're guilty of mocking God. And if you're a Christian here today and you're hearing the truth of God's word and you choose to reject it, you say, I'll let somebody else do it. Friend, you're mocking God. God has called you to take a stand. God has called you to act. God is calling upon you to be a light in a dark world, and we must be a light in this world. Listen to me, there are only two ideas of truth. There are only two truths you or I can believe and conserve. God's truth or our own idea of the truth. And only one of those truths is absolute, and I can guarantee you it isn't ours. If you choose to live by your idea of truth, all you've really done is chosen to serve Satan. All you've really done is choose to believe the lies of the devil. All you've really done is choose to mock God, and so do your flesh. The debate is settled as far as God is concerned. When is a child a child? At the moment of conception. And that's God's word on it. Now, you may be here this morning, listening online, and you may be a man who got a girl pregnant. You just didn't want to deal with it. And you encouraged her to get an abortion. Or you may be a woman who was talked into it by someone. Or because of your circumstances, you just couldn't see a way, and so you chose abortion over adoption. I want to say to you this morning that there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. There is a God in heaven that can forgive you and will forgive this sin. Abortion is a regrettable sin, but it is not an unforgivable sin. God can and does forgive sin. In fact, there is not a sin that God will not forgive you and I for. I don't care what you've done. You know, God doesn't care what you've done. He already knows what you've done. He knew you were going to do it. Because the one who formed us in the womb is also the one who knows us totally. He knows us completely. He knew how we came into the world. He knew the life we were going to choose to live. But he's here today to offer you freedom from that life and to offer you an opportunity to be free from your sin, to get rid of the guilt, to get rid of the shame, and to begin to live a life of glory and joy for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And only God can do that. So I want you to know something. I don't care if the sin is abortion. If that's what you've done, it doesn't matter. I don't care if the sin is stealing, lying, cheating, name it, adultery, fornication. I don't care what it is. Jesus says, come as you are. Just as I am. Without one plea. You just come. You come to the throne of grace. You don't have to live with guilt. You don't have to live with shame. You don't have to live with regret any longer. You see, God loves you and I in spite of our sins. And you know something? I'm the preacher. And you the people. But God knows there's not a single sinless person in this room this morning. Amen? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. God loves you. God created you. God gave you life. He knows the thoughts and the plans he has for you. And I want to tell you this morning, God will forgive you. He will heal your pain. He will bring peace. He will accept you. But there is something you need to do, and that is to repent of your sin. What does that mean? It means you lay it down. It means you're going on this road, and this road you're sorry for what you've done, but you keep on going, you keep on doing the same thing over and over again. No, when you repent, it means you turn around, you forget that thing. Behold, any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and all that old junk just passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I am so thankful I'm a new creation in Christ. And for those of you who are saved by the blood of the Lamb, what about you? Are you thankful this morning you're a saved soul going home to heaven? You see, when you ask God to forgive you, he doesn't condemn you. He forgives you. And you don't have to live with condemnation any longer. And for those who've had an abortion, you don't need to live or even consider that secret anymore. Oh, there's going to be one who's going to talk to you just as he's talking to you right now. His name is Satan. He's whispering in your ear, don't listen to that preacher. He's whispering in your ear, you're never going to be good enough. He's whispering in your ear, no one's ever going to forgive you. Don't believe that stuff. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. I'm going to tell you, you believe it. Because Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. He is the healer, the redeemer, the forgiver of our sins. And he died on Calvary's cross to set us free from the bondage of sin and regret. And today you can be free if you will receive him as your Lord and as your Savior. Amen. Father God, we just thank you today for your word unto us. Lord, I cannot stand here and pray without praying for the supervisors of this county board. Lord, I pray that every one of those supervisors would understand and realize that they, just as I and just as every other Christian, they need to heed your word, they need to live by your word, and they need to stand up and honor your word. And Father, I pray for this county, that we would be a pro-life county, that we would send a message to Richmond that life begins at conception. I pray for our governor, Father, that he would stand for what is right, that he would stand up and oppose all those who want to continue this dread sin of abortion. And Lord, I just pray for this church today, for every single person that is here. Lord, I pray your mercy be upon us. I pray your grace to guide us. And Lord, your spirit has gone forth this morning, and you are already calling men and women. And Father, you may be calling them to come and repent of a sin and give their heart and soul to you. You may be calling them to come and be a member of this church. You may be calling them, as you did Brother Mike last week, to come and be baptized. Lord, you may be calling them for something else, and maybe they'll just come forward this morning, Lord. And as by coming forward, they're praying, Lord, help me to be the light you have called me to be in this dark world. Help me to fight for what is right. Lord, I know not what your spirit is going to do, but I do know this, your word does not go out void. And so, Lord, you have your will and you have your way in each one of us. And do not allow any of us gathered here today to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. In Jesus' name I pray today, and all of God's people said, amen. Brother Marty, if you'll come and lead us in song. You know, the hardest thing for some folks might be just to get up and come forward. Because they're always worried about what other people think. I'm going to tell you, people don't matter. There's only one that matters. His name is Jesus Christ. One day the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Christ. And guess what? You won't be able to ask your pastor to come with you when you have to stand before Christ. We're all going to stand there by ourselves. How many of you want to hear those words? Well done, good and faithful servant. I know I sure don't want to hear something else. So this morning, I am encouraging you, take a stand. If you believe that life begins at conception. If you believe that life is important, you come and pray. Pray for our board of supervisors in this county that they will make this county a pro-life county. Pray for your governor. Pray for our nation's leaders. Friends, if God's people do not pray, those leaders will continue to fall by the wayside. They'll continue to do what man wants. But when God's people pray, God moves and revival begins in us first. So, Brother Marty, you lead us in song. And friends, you do what God would have you to do this morning.